Morning, everyone. Obviously, we have the great Chodesh Adar Sheni, Simcha. So, start off the new month of Adar, even though it's only officially tomorrow, but it's already, quasi. So we can start off with some Divrei Torah. One of the big questions that comes up in Halacha, the modern times in particular, is that we know that there, on Purim, among the mitzvahs that we have on Purim are the mitzvahs of Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim, that is based on the pasuk that we have here on the top of the sheet, that it was established that in every year the Jews should observe Hayomim Asher Nachu Bahem Hayehudim Me'Oideihem, like the days that they rested from their enemies, V'chodesh Asher Nepach Lahem Yodom L'Simcha, and the month that changed over from grief to happiness and from mourning to Yom Tov, to make them into days of Mishtav Simcha, rejoicing and feast, Mishloach Manos, sending Manos, a man to his friend, Umatanos Levyonim, and gifts to the poor. So from the pasuk itself, we see that you have these two mitzvahs, three. You have Mishta v'Simcha, the Inyan of Sudas Purim, that there should be a meal celebrating Purim. And then we have the Mishloach Manos, Ishlereyehu, from which the Chazal derive that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, you just have to give one person, because it says Ishlereyehu in the singular, that a man gives to his friends, his fellow man. And it says manos in plural, so from this we derive the halacha that you have to give two manos to one person, and thereby a person fulfills the mitzvah. Whereas when it comes to the second item, it says matanos levyonim, so here it's plural in evyonim, that it has to be more than one evyon, more than one indigen person. So thus we have that you have to give two people matanos levyonim and shalach manos. You have to give just one person two items. Okay, that is the basic halacha that we have. Okay, so the question that presents itself is that when exactly does this mitzvah have to be done, and in its totality? Because these mitzvahs involve two people. Okay, shalach manos involves a giver and a recipient. And so too, somebody sends the Mishloach Manos, somebody receives the Mishloach Manos. So too, the Matanos Levyonim, somebody is giving and somebody is receiving. So the question is, do they both have to be done on Purim? Do they both have to be done on Purim? Does only one have to be done on Purim? And in particular, this comes up in several ways. Number one, the question would be, could you mail it to somebody? Okay, if you want to mail somebody Mishloach Manos, and let's say you'll use the services that we have today, guaranteed delivery, you'll send it to Federal Express or overnight mail on the day before Purim. You'll see it this year is Shabbos, but in a regular year, you send it to guaranteed delivery the next day through the post office. So the person who's receiving it is receiving it on Purim. However, the sender is not sending it on Purim. That would be one question that would come up. The same with the Matanos Levyonim. In other words, could a person do that? Or I'm going to mail it to somebody because I know he'll get it on that day. Or even if I'm not going to mail it, I'll give it to someone in advance to give it to this person on Purim. Now, if you send it with another Jew, so then you could say that perhaps that person is acting as your shliach, he's your agent, so therefore it is as if you did it on Purim. But you don't have the ability to say that if it's sent in the mail. So this is one question that comes up in the modern world. Another question which comes up is every year when it comes to Matanos Levyonim in particular, so we find that collections are made for Jews in Eretz Yisrael, who certainly are worthy and needy of Matanos Levyonim. But the challenge in Eretz Yisrael is what happens if it's going to be distributed to a Jew who lives in Yerushalayim. So, in Yerushalayim, Purim is observed, as a walled city is observed, on the 15th day of Adar. And we observe Purim on the 14th day of Adar. So can a person send the Matanos Levyonim, or for that matter, the Mishloach Manos, in such a manner that it will arrive, can I fulfill my obligation on the 15th day? In other words, the recipient will get it on that day. But that day is not Purim for me anymore. In other words, by me, it's Purim on the 4th. For us, it's Purim on the 14th day of Adar. Okay, the recipient is going to get it on the 15th day of Adar, but for him, it's Purim on that day. So the question is, does one fulfill the mitzvah in such a manner? This is a question which comes up very, very relevant, comes up all the time, especially this year, I think, in particular, gone on in Eretz Yisrael, many cuts, budget cuts, and a lot of people in need of tzedakah more so than in the past. So the question is, can a person do this? So at the outset, we have to look at discussion that's found here in the Bir Halacha. If you look on the sheet in the second paragraph, so in the Bir Halacha it says in the second four lines from the top, he says L'shnei Anim, he's going on the Shulchan Aruch, which says that you're supposed to give the Matanos Levionim to two poor people. In other words, you have to get two recipients. So he says Lo Yitein Lehem Kodem Purim. So this is a quote from the Magen Avraham, who in turn is quoting from one of the Rishonim, that he says that you should not give the Matanos Levionim before Purim. Okay, why? Dilma Achli Lehu called him Purim. Because maybe the Ani, the poor person, doesn't have money, so if you give him the money before Purim, he needs it so desperately that he's going to spend it before Purim, there won't be anything left for Purim. So what he's discussing is not the case that we mentioned. He's discussing the person without the mail, without any, agent. In other words, walking up to an indigent person, walking up to an Ani before Purim and say, look, it's a week before Purim, but I may not see you on Purim and I'm not necessarily going to have time to work for you. So here's the money right now, and you should have it. It should be for Purim. So the Magen Avraham says that a person should not do that. And the reason is because there's no guarantee a person in that status, no guarantee that he's going to be able to hold it until Purim. He may use it. And if he uses it before Purim, so then you fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, obviously. Tzedakah, it is a whole year. But the mitzvah of Matanos Levionim would not be because he gave it to him before Purim. He spent it before Purim. This is what the Magen Avraham says in the name of the Sefer Amor. And then he continues the Bir Halacha, written by the Chafetz Chaim, continues and says, U'minig ha'olam li'tein kodem Purim. He says, however, the minhag ha'olam is to give it before Purim. Now, it's unclear, it's not 100% clear what he means, but I would assume, just in the context, that he means that you give it directly to the Ani before Purim. In other words, we today, most people give Matanos Levionim in advance of Purim, but they give it to a collection, and whoever's collecting it distributes it on Purim. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. Or is he saying that it seems that the minute was that they would give it even to the poor people before Purim? Okay, I guess they didn't have such an organized system like we have today. So he says, after Matanos Levionim, it's supposed to have to be on Purim. Even though this mitzvah is specifically on Purim. So Rav Lomar, the Al-Kartel no saying, Shnei Matanos Levionim, Gam Biyom Purim. So this is a quote from Machzor Shekel that he says, well, most likely a person gives to poor people on Purim also, so therefore the fact that we give it in advance doesn't mean that we're not Yotze, because even though we just said that a person should not give it to the poor person in advance of Purim, but nevertheless, in all likelihood he's going to encounter people on Purim anyway, so it's not such a big deal. The Ganyesh Harbe Aniyim Chozim Al Apsochim Purim, and there are many poor people that make the rounds on Purim, and therefore, even though you're giving it in advance, which we just said you really shouldn't do, nevertheless, it's not a problem because invariably you will encounter Aniyim on Purim. Now, it seems that, in the old world, so to speak, the world that they were speaking in, European Jewry, there were many, many poor people, and you read up on it and hear from people who were there, right? So the Aniyim, the poor people, of which there were many, many, you didn't have the same situation like today. The government wasn't helping people out. You didn't have a lot of the benefits that we have today living here in America. So you had many, many Aniyim, and the Aniyim looked forward to Purim. Purim was a big, big yontif for the Aniyim, and therefore, and they made it known. They would go around aggressively saying, I'm an Ani, please give me money. And therefore, the Matzah Shekel is saying that no big deal if you give the Matanos Levyonim in advance, because you're not going to get through Purim without being Yotzi Matanos Levyonim on Purim, because they're going to come to your house, and there's no question that you'll fulfill it. Now, that it very likely does not apply anymore, because times have changed. And in today, really, it's a challenge to necessarily find someone of the Matanos Levyonim and so forth. The people have a different attitude. The person who will be a recipient of this might feel uncomfortable, certainly would not come after someone, would not solicit it. So therefore, I don't know if what the Matzah Shekel says applies today anymore. However, I don't think he's talking about what we do. In other words, what we do commonly is that we give the money before Purim to someone who's collecting it, and that person's going to distribute it on Purim. So then you could say that person is a shliach. In other words, whoever is going to do the distribution on Purim is acting as an agent for all the people that give. And therefore, since we have the halacha concept, shlucho shel adam kamoso, that the act of an agent is as if the person did it himself, so therefore we fulfill the mitzvah of matanos levyonim in that manner. So we gave it on Purim and it was received on Purim. But had it been given in advance of Purim so then in all likelihood what the Matzah Shekel says would not apply anymore and we wouldn't be yotze. So therefore, you know, that I believe what emerges from this, that a person would really have to give to someone who's going to give it out on Purim, at least so that the poor person receives it on Purim. Okay, now, however, but what about returning to our question, so but what about sending it in the mail? What about on the day before Purim, overnighting it to an ani, so that you're giving it before Purim, but he will receive it on Purim? So many are medayik, many infer from the Magen Avraham's psak that was mentioned at the beginning, that the Magen Avraham said that the reason why you shouldn't give the poor person before Purim is because he may use it before Purim. So many people make the inference, they have a question, why is that the reason? Why doesn't he say a better reason? The reason is because you're not giving it on Purim. So it must be that the act of giving isn't crucial that it should be done on Purim, it's merely the act of receiving that should be done on Purim. In other words, if it needed to be, both sides of it had to be done on Purim, so then when discussing the question of whether you can give it to an ani in advance, it should be simply dismissed by saying you can't possibly do that, you're not giving it on Purim. It doesn't matter whether he holds the money till Purim. What's the difference? You didn't give it on Purim. So from this, many people say that we can derive that you could send the Matanos Levyonim in advance of Purim, as long as it's received on Purim, and they say that the same would apply to the mitzvah of Shluach Manos. That when there again, you have the two, it's a two-way street, you have a giver and a receiver, right? So that based on this that the Magen Avraham is saying, it would seem that you could send it in advance. You could send it in advance as long as the person will receive it on Purim. And the truth is, we find this elaborated a little bit more in the Be'er Heitev, which is the third quote here on the third section here on the sheet on page 1, where he says, "Od nistapakti." He says, "I also have a question. Misha shalach l'chavero shememedina sayam shnei manos or shnei matanos or shnei avyonim. If a person sends overseas either shalach manos or matanos levyonim kodem purim." And it will definitely reach that person on Purim. So do we say that a person has fulfilled the requirement or not? So me name, or do we say that since at the time that he sent it there was no mitzvah, long nafik, he is not satisfying the requirement? Or Dilma, perhaps we say, Kivan de Bapurim Atzmal, Shahu Shas Achir, Tigil Yado, that since on Purim it reached him, so then Nafik, then it's good enough. This is the question that we've been discussing. So says the Berhetiv Ayin Yararam Shadaito Note the Yote de Chavasa Shakir. So he quotes here from Sefer Yad Aaron, who says that in his opinion, a person would fulfill his responsibility because of the fact that the requirement, because it was received on Purim, that's the main thing. Okay, and this is in fact the way many poskim hold. okay, that a person can send it in advance even without a shliach. In other words, the way we do the matanos of yonim, you could say it's easy because there's no shiloh because it's sent with a shliach. So they're sent with a Jewish person who's distributing it on Purim. So it's a shliach. It's as if I did it on Purim. But you can't say that if you sent it in the mail, because there is no shlichus. Akam Agoya cannot be a shliach, a halachic shliach, and therefore in a situation like that where it's delivered in the mail, so then you gave it in advance, so you didn't give it on Purim. But nevertheless, they want to say that these poskim want to say that it's fine because we go by the mekabel. Now we go by the recipient. Okay. Now, however, this psak is challenged in the Aruch HaShulchan. In the Aruch HaShulchan here, the final paragraph here on the page, so he says, Yesh L'Stapek, it's a little bit separated here, Yesh L'Stapek, Yishasholach Manas L'Reyehu Shebem Rechayim, Kodem Purim, V'Yagilo B'Purim, if a person sent it before Purim, Yotzi B'Zeyideh Mishloach Manos, and he's talking about Mishloach Manos, but it doesn't seem that it makes such a difference. So he says, Yesh Misha Omer Diyotza. He says there are those who say that it's good enough, quoting the Ber Hetiv that we just read. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Beli Nira Delo Yotza. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, in my opinion, it's not good enough. The Be'ina Mishloach Manos Bepurim Atzmo. Because we need that the sending of the goods has to take place on Purim as well. Okay, in other words, it's a two-sided act. There's a giver and a receiver, and therefore the person who's giving it has to give it on Purim too. Number one. And then he says a remarkable thing. He says, "Va'od the ha'ikar hamishloach manos had mishum simcha." He says the main point of mishloach manos. Why do we give mishloach manos on Purim? So we'll soon discuss this. But he says that the reason for that is because that adds to the simcha. And how does it add to the simcha? Because when you give a gift to somebody, so not only does the recipient have simcha, but it's a good feeling. You know, I gave my friend a gift. You feel good about giving it. You know, it's an inyan of increasing a person's simcha. So he says, "Beis simcha lo ato mashu sholach mikodem." Says, but if the guy sent the gift a few days earlier, so then what simcha does he have now? In other words, the recipient may have simcha, but the one who gave it does not have simcha. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says that the person would not be Yotze in this matter. Therefore the same would be true with the Matanos of Yonim, that if it was given in advance of Purim and simply arrived at the person's house on Purim, that would not be good enough. That is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes?
I somehow learned in the past that
We're going to get to that. Right, that's correct. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see about that now. The truth is, if that's the reason, so then you could say, you see people based on that challenge, what the Aruch HaShulchan said, because they say that as long as, we'll see, that reason is given by the Terumas HaDeshen, in other words, that the point of the Mishloach Manos is that the person should have food available, so for the Sudas Purim, to enjoy Purim. If that's the case, then it doesn't matter when you sent it. So on that basis, that this set the Aruch HaShulchan said is challenged, and there's also something else which we'll get to soon. But the Aruch HaShulchan here, it seems to be in minority opinion. The majority hold that a person could give it in advance, and that because we go essentially, in other words, but from a conceptual standpoint, right? We go by if we're going to follow the poskim who say it could be sent in advance. So that means that we're focusing on the recipient, not so much on the act of giving. Now that being the case, some take this to perhaps an extreme and say that if it doesn't matter, if we don't really care about the person giving, but rather we care about the recipient, meaning that even though the giver is the one who's doing the mitzvah, but the main thing is that the recipient should get it on Purim and should have it to enjoy on Purim. So there are those who made the leap to say that if you sent Shalach Manos or Matanos Levyonim to a Jew in Jerusalem, to a Jew in Yerushalayim, who observes Purim on a different day than you do, that it would be good enough. Why? Because we just said that we're focusing on the recipient. It doesn't matter when you gave it. It matters when the person receives it. So if the person receives it, and by him it's Purim, so that's all we care about. So you'll say, but 1 minute, but the one who gave it, it's, the one who gave it, it's not Purim for him on the day that the person received it. So it's not exactly apples to apples, you could argue. But nevertheless, there are people, I was surprised to see this because I would not have said this, but there are people who said from the Goliath Post, Mishas Yitzchak, quoted as having said that it would be good enough because since we go by the recipient, so as long as there is, it doesn't matter as far as the giver or the donor in the case of the Tanis Lavion. I could send it a week in advance. Words, let's say I knew that there was a certain mail service, a certain delivery, you'll send it, you know, third class mail, whatever, you know, one of the cheaper options. Okay, you send it to 7 days in advance, but they guarantee delivery on Purim. Right, so then I could send it even you know, well in advance. That wouldn't be a problem. Why? Because it doesn't matter when I send it. So some say if it doesn't matter when I send it, it only matters when he gets it. So if he gets it on Purim, even though it's only Purim for him and not Purim for me, that's good enough. And on that basis, you could go ahead and send it to Eretz Yisrael, and you can send it to Yerushalayim, and if that was the only Matanis Levyonim or Shalach Manis that a person gave, a person would fulfill his obligation. That is what some people say. Okay, however, as if you think into this, you'll say that it doesn't seem so simple, so question, it does not seem so simple that this should be true, because as I said, you'll argue that, but at least in the cases that we've been discussing, even though the sender, even though the Mishaleach sent it in advance of Purim, but the recipient received it on a day that was Purim for the sender. So if the point is, if the mitzvah is that the sender should facilitate that somebody receives it on Purim, if that's the mitzvah, then it should have to be his Purim. And if it's not his, in other words, it has to be the sender's Purim. Even though it doesn't go, that even though the sender might not have to do the act of sending it on Purim, but it should be at least that it took place on the sender's Purim. And if it took place only on the recipient's Purim, then it should not be good. This argument is alive and well today, right? This has been the different camps on this. There's many people on both sides. You know, as I say, there's those who are lenient and those who are strict about this. And therefore, the practical matter would be wise that if a person is going to do this, to at least try to do something else on Purim of their own, right? A person should not just simply rely that the money is going to be given out in Eretz Yisrael, let's say with the Matanis Levyonim, and even though there are many tzedakah organizations that are now in high gear, mobilized, appealing to people to send the money to Eretz Yisrael, which is a good thing to do, no doubt about it, and you know, the Rambam says that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael might even have the status of Aniyei Yircha, that they're considered on the same level as local Aniyim. But nevertheless, because Eretz Yisrael is considered everyone's place, but nevertheless, obviously, if it's in sense to a place in Eretz Yisrael outside of Yerushalayim, it's not a problem, because outside of Yerushalayim, Purim is celebrated on the 14th, just like it is here in Miami. But if it's going to be sent exclusively to Yerushalayim, so then a person would be wise to take care of something locally also, so that at least in that manner, they have covered all the bases. There is who to rely upon in terms of the lenient opinion that you could fulfill the mitzvah, but being that there are, you know, if you think into it, it's actually a very intriguing type of thing. If the halacha is that we go by the recipient, so does that mean that the sender, does that mean that the donor doesn't play a role at all and doesn't have anything to do with him giving it on Purim, so it doesn't even have to be attributed to him on his Purim? Do we go that far? Or do we say that it's only the act itself that doesn't have to be done on Purim, but the receiver has to receive it on his Purim? Yes.
That
once again?
So that
brings us to the last point on this topic, which is, as Rosh Hashanah points out, that what happens if you have a time zone issue? In other words, even if you'll send it to Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is 7 hours ahead of where we are, Okay, so, you know, generally speaking, because they're ahead, you should be okay, because they'll get it, you know, they'll get it in time. But the question is if they'll receive it before it's Purim over here. Or if you sent it on Purim and it got to them too late. So in the Sefer Oz Nidru, Rav Binyamin Zilber, the Sal says that absolutely a person has to take that into consideration also, and that being again, if you take the lenient opinion, it doesn't matter, because then it doesn't matter, as long as he got it on Purim, it doesn't matter what it is for me. But if you take the stricter opinion, so then you would have to see to it that the person received it at a time that was still Purim for me also, which could also play out, you know, in terms of, you know, you don't have to go necessarily to Eretz Yisrael. You could have time zone differences even here in this country where, you know, depending on when you sent it, if the person received it, it was already too late or not. You know, a person realizes that the very end of Purim, oh my gosh, I forgot to give Matanos Levionim. So you say, well, okay, you'll get on the phone and call some rabbi in Los Angeles and say, you know, I'll give you my credit card number, whatever it is, please, or I'll send you a check. Please go give someone, an ani, two ani and matanos levionim. So that you could do. But vice versa, you know, if a person sent it in a time where it wouldn't be good, then ein hachinami, that would be the same issue. The time zone difference would be the same issue. Okay, yeah.
Just to tell you how Rabbi Shapiro does it, yeah. He gets matanos levionim on Purim.
Right.
He calls Israel with the amount that he's giving. Someone fronts the money for him over there.
Okay.
And then he sends the money.
Someone fronts the money, but where I'm saying, which city? They give you Yerushalayim? So that, but the Yerushalayim is the next day. I'm saying that you still have that issue. So I would assume, I would guess, you could ask him, you know, what he does, but I would guess that he also distributes some of it outside of Yerushalayim. So that way, he covered all the bases.
He also distributes money.
And he also says my local. Okay, fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Just because everything's so serious, I just wanted you to know that a few years ago,
yeah,
there was a Jewish postmaster general.
Okay.
And he instituted same day and 2-day service.
Okay. Alright, there you have it. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Just for Purim. Specifically for Purim. Okay, now returning to the question of Mishloach Manos that was raised a few minutes ago. So we saw in the Aruch HaShulchan that he says that the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is based on Simcha. Now, as was mentioned, that is not universally agreed upon. So when in fact, most people say that the Aruch HaShulchan was Mechadish, that the Aruch HaShulchan said a reason for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos that previously had not been mentioned. Because what we do find in the Svarim, as far as the reason for Mishloach Manos, and why on Purim is there such a mitzvah that you have to give gifts of food in particular. So if you turn over the page here, we have Matrumas Hadeshen, which is was written by one of the later Rishonim, a great halachic authority who wrote a sefer of Shalos and Tshuvos, which is not large in size, but almost every single psak that he rendered made its way into the Shulchan Aruch. So he says that he discusses the question of Mishloach Manos, and his question is, do you have to give food? Right? The idea is to give gifts on Purim, so why necessarily food? Let's say you want to send somebody a nice shirt, right? Or you send somebody an iPod, the latest cell phone, right? And it'll be a gift for Purim. So can a person be out there? Must it be food? Now the truth is, if you look in the pasuk doesn't really say anything about food. The pasuk says Mishloach Manos. So Manos means goods, items. It could be anything theoretically. So comes the Trumas Hadeshen, and he says in his tshuva, it's not so clear on this sheet. He says Yira de'ein yotzim behem. So Trumas Hadeshen ruled that a person would not be yotzei sending a gift other than food on Mishloach Manos. Why? So he says the Mishloach Manos who kidei she yia she yehel l'chol echad dai v'sapek l'kayim hasuda kedina. Says the Trumas Hadeshen that the whole reason for why we have this mitzvah is so that people should be able to fulfill, like we said in the beginning of the pasuk, there should be mishta v'simcha, that there should be a feast on Purim. And in order to do that, not everybody would necessarily have food. Right? So therefore, the point of the Mishloach Manos, the point of it, is that people should have food. And if that's the point, then it's not, in other words, it's not an entity necessarily in and of itself for its own reason, but rather it sort of ties together, with the basic concept of Purim being a Yom Mishnah V'Simcha, that a person should make a Suda on Purim, a great feast of celebration. He needs to have food for that. So therefore they instituted that there should be Mishloach Manos because of the fact that not everybody has food. This is what he said. Again, in our culture, it's hard to relate to this, especially the way we do the Mishloach Manos. But in a different world, it's very easy to see how you had people that didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. How are you going to celebrate Purim? You know, like the famous story they say over pertaining to Pesach. You know that there was some poor man went to the Beis Halevi of Yashaber, the rabbi of Brisk in the late 1800s. And he asked him if a person can fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Kosos on Pesach with milk. So the Beis HaLevi said to him, no. And then he opened up the drawer where he had the community tzedakah fund, and he gave this man a very large amount of money. So somebody who was observing this said, why did you give him so much money? After all, okay, wine, he has to go out and buy wine, but he doesn't need that much money to buy wine. To which the Beis HaLevi responded, well, if he's asking that question, whether you could drink milk, that means he doesn't have meat either, obviously. So therefore, that means he has no, what kind of yontif is he going to have? So when I heard that shaila, I understood that his situation is far worse than just the question of milk versus wine, so therefore I gave him a lot more. So in that type of world, we could understand how you could have people who don't have anything. So how's he going to have a Suda's Purim? So the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is a great system. You go ahead and you give him food. And it's a mitzvah to give it to him. It's not even tzedakah, right? So it comes in under the radar. So this way everybody would have food. Thus, so says the Trum Sadeshen, and therefore he says that one could not fulfill the mitzvah by sending other items other than food. However, there is a conflicting opinion, which I don't have it here on the sheet, but in the Sefer Manos HaLevi, which was written by one of the very early Achronim, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the same person who wrote the Lechadodi poem that we sing every Friday night. So he wrote a sefer, a perish on Megillas Esther, and this sefer, he was a Levi, Shlomo Levi Alkabetz, and he presented this sefer to his father-in-law on Purim as Mishloach Manos. In other words, he called the sefer Manos HaLevi. That's what he called it, Manos HaLevi, the Manos of the Levi, he being the Levi. And we have this sefer today, and it's been reprinted many times, a very beautiful commentary, very lengthy commentary on Megillas Esther, and he gave it to his father-in-law. So from that act alone, you can imagine what he must have thought of what we just said about the Truman Sadeshim, who said that he can't fulfill Shloach Manos this way. So he says that the reason why they instituted the mitzvah, the Chachamim made the mitzvah of Shloach Manos, is because the idea of Purim is that there should be reus, that there should be friendship, there should be achdus in the Klal Yisrael, right? Based on the fact that the Haman's initial report to Ahasuerus, when he said that he will not have any trouble making a decree against the Jews, is because he said Yeshna Amecha Mefuzar Meforad Ben Haamin, that there is a nation that is spread out amongst the nations, from which the interpretation is given that not only are they spread out, that they're mefuzar, that they're spread out in many different places, but they're mefarad, they also don't get along with each other. They're not unified. So because they're not unified, you can do what you want to them, they're not going to resist, because they can't pull themselves together. So to show the simcha of the Neis of Purim, as we know, excuse me, that the Chazal say, it's brought in the Gemara Megillah, that when Achashverosh gave over his ring to Haman, so the Gemara says that Gedol HaSaras HaTabas, that act accomplished more than Memches Nevi'im Shenisnabu Yisrael, that act brought on a greater tshuva movement than any of the Jewish prophets and any Yeshaya and Yirmiyah, all the people who gave Musar in their Nevuah, in their prophecy. Nobody accomplished as much as Achashverosh, because when he did that, everybody was terrified, and it led people to tshuva, but it also led people to a certain achdus, that everybody got together. We have to join together at this point. We have no other hopes. Everybody came together. So to show that, to commemorate that, so we have mitzvah and Purim of Mishloach Manos, that there should be reus, that there should be friendship. So therefore you go ahead and you send people gifts on Purim. As such, if that's the reason, So then several naftaminas would come out in the halacha, if that is true. Okay, we once discussed this several years ago, but it is worthwhile repeating this. It would come out the following situations, right? What would be if a person sent Mishloach Manos on Purim, but the recipient wasn't home, and you left it at his door, but you didn't have a tag identifying who sent it, right? You didn't put on it a tag, this is from the Sharshan. You didn't, for whatever reason, you didn't have that. You thought the guy would be home, you thought the person would be home, you left it at the door. They weren't home, you left it at the door. Now when he receives it, he doesn't know where he got it from. So if the reason is the first reason, as we said, from the Terumas Hadeshen, that he should have food for Purim, it doesn't matter if he doesn't know who the recipient was, who the sender was. Whereas if the idea is that it should foster friendship, so then the recipient, what does it help? He doesn't know who sent it, so there's no reus. So that would be a nafka mina that would come out between these two shitas. Okay, a second nafka mina, which is discussed extensively in the poskim, the Ramot speaks about in the Shulchan Aruch, is what happens if you send Mishloach Manos to a person and the person is mochel. The person says, okay, thank you very much, I appreciate it, very nice of you, but please, it's fine, I have plenty, I don't need it. So again, you'd have the same question. In other words, if the point is that he should have food for Purim, so then in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to get him food for Purim. So even though he says, well, I don't need the food, that may be true. But if your mitzvah is to see to it that he has food for Purim, you haven't done that. Whereas, on the other hand, if the idea is there should be friendship, so then it doesn't matter because that you have, because he appreciates it, right? Even though he was vocal. Right, there are more paskins in the Shulchan Aruch, in fact, that if a person is mochel, you would be yotzei the Mishloach Manos. However, not everybody agrees. This is the Prichodesh, one of the Achronim, the challenge is very strongly, he says, I don't know where you got that from, right? But, it would seem that it would be dependent on these two reasons. Okay, another case where it would make a difference would be, and this is very common today, what happens if you send Mishloach Manos to a person who won't eat it? For example, a person on a diet. Or the person is allergic to what you sent him. Now, if you did it maliciously, that might be something else. But let's say the person, if you sent it to a person, but he doesn't need it. Or, for example, the person is the makbid, the only chol gisrael. No, and you sent him the large Hershey bar, right, the most expensive Hershey bar that they sell, jumbo size, gift wrap. You say, but he won't eat it. He doesn't eat chol gisrael. He only eats chol gisrael. Right, unless you say that is called Israel, okay, but a different discussion. Right, let's say you send him, even it could be a hechsher that he doesn't rely on that hechsher. Right, but I do, so it's good by me, or any such case like that. So again, it would depend. If the idea is that he should have the food for Purim, so if he won't eat it because he's on a diet, you haven't accomplished the mitzvah. Whereas if the idea is that there should be reyus, so he says, okay, I appreciate it. It's very nice that you sent it to me, even though I won't eat it myself. You have people today more and more who are careful to eat only certified yashan products, things that they know are from the week from the year before, right, that they know with certainty is such, and therefore already at this point in the year is the heart, because Pesach is when everything changes, so at this point of the year is the hardest time to get something that's certified Yashan, so therefore it's very common that you send a hamantash to somebody and he won't eat it because he only eats Yashan. So this would be the same type of situation. Okay, another case where this would come up would be, let's say a person intended to send Shalach Manos to a man who has children. So he intended to send it to the father. The father wasn't home, but the children received it. So here it would be the other way around. In other words, if the idea is to foster friendship, so if my intention was to send it to the father, I'm trying to foster friendship to the father. The father doesn't know that I sent it. He wasn't home when I sent it. And maybe they didn't even tell him. On the other hand, if the idea is that he should have food, so then it doesn't matter whether he knows I sent it or whether he knows who sent it, as long as he had the food. So these are the two shitas that we have. Now the Aruch HaShulchan, just to recall, the Aruch HaShulchan in fact introduced the third idea, which is that this dominion of simcha, that's the reason for Mishloach Manos, that a person gets enjoyment from giving a gift and the other person gets enjoyment from receiving the gift. Okay, so that's a new reason many people take the Aruch HaShulchan to task, as was mentioned, because of the fact that he's making up a new reason that's not in the books. In other words, these two reasons are well established, and it's brought down in many svarim this type of question. So anyway, this is a little bit the, you know, some of the ideas that come up in the modern times, Shilas that come up with the Matanos of Yonim and with the Mishloach Manos, and I would just add, by adding one of my great pet peeves, which I don't know where this started, but it is so widely promulgated, and there's no basis in halacha at all, the idea that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, you have to send items of two different brachas. You can't send two things that you say the bracha shakol, or two things that you say the bracha mizonos, but rather, you have to send one thing of mizonos and one thing of shahakol, or whatever. There is absolutely no basis, there's not a posek in the history of Klal Yisrael that ever said such a thing. Okay, in fact, if one looks in the Ramah says very clearly that a person can fulfill the Shalach Manos by sending Shnei Minei Basar, two types of meat. What they do say, you see, the issue that probably triggered this was there is a Shaila Nachronim when the Pasuk says in Shalach Manos that you have to send Manos. So we all agree, let's say, or at least those who follow the Trumas Hadeshin's opinion, there has to be food. And that's the way it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Rambam says also, it has to be food. So the question is, can you send two of the exact same item of food? In other words, can you send two slices of pizza? Can you send two slices of chocolate cake? Do you say that that's manos, each one is a portion in and of itself? Or do you say that shnei manos has to be two different things? So that is debated amongst the poskim. And because there's no clear resolution on that shiloh, so therefore, to avoid that discussion, to avoid getting into that shiloh, we don't send two of the same. So that's true. In other words, you can't send two oranges and say it's Mishloach Manos, even though there are poskim that would hold that's good, because they'll say each orange is a mono. So I send two monos. So that we don't do. But that they should have to be two separate brachas, there is absolutely no basis anywhere in any posek. You could send two pieces of cake, as long as they're different types of cake. A person could send a piece of chocolate cake and a piece of cheesecake and fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. That, now, in reality, if you did, I would advise maybe not doing that, because if you did, people would laugh and say, oh, this guy doesn't know the halacha, right? What kind of ignoramus sends me two pieces of cake? But that's not true. Yes?
In the previous discussion you mentioned the possibility of sending one piece of dog, new chicken.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's possible. That could very well be. That could very well be, because it's two separate types. Yeah, two separate types of meat. It's clear in the Ramah. The Ramah says, Shnei Minei Basar. It's clear as day that he says you could send two types of meat the Brachah Shakol, no matter what type of meat it is. Yeah, yeah,
right. You send a little basket of food.
Yes.
Your best grand labor. I mean, what's a big deal? That they only send somebody who thinks you don't like him.
Not necessarily. Anybody. It's true that the poskim say that it's a good idea on Purim to try to make amends with people. So to send to a person you don't get along with it would be a hither mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, no question about it. But you're not obligated to do that.
Don't worry.
You're not obligated to do that. I just want to mention that Joe.
Don't worry, we're going to say.
Now, just before we end, I just getting back to this with the two groups from the same bracha. It happens to be I was in New York last year, right before Purim, and a friend of mine who writes a halacha column on one of the freebie papers they give out, the Five Towns Jewish Times in New York, in the New York area. So one of my chaverim, Rabbi Yair Hoffman, writes a halacha column, and he last year wrote up a whole piece on this, and and in fact he included a picture from a store which sells in New York, which sells pre-made shalach manos. You know, people like to buy; they don't have to bother with it themselves. And the sign said two separate brachas. They're advertising two separate brachas. So you're advertising something which is not halacha. Okay, the final thing which I'll say, which I don't want to start any trouble, but if you want a little Purim Torah, it's not really Purim Torah, but the pasuk says, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. So the Re'ehu means a man to his fellow man, but in the Halacha, people interpret the word Re'ehu to be a peer. So therefore, there is question if a student can fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos sending it to his Rebbe. Because of the fact that his Rebbe is discussed in Poskim, because of the fact that he might not be considered Re'ehu, not his friend. He's not his peer, he's in a different status. So I was thinking the same would probably apply to the rabbi of the shul. In other words, you know, you say, well, he's not Re'ehu, right? He's in a different state. He's the rabbi. He's a, so now I'm not Tashon suggesting that a person should not send to the rabbi of the shul, but if you want to give him a reason to smile on Purim, you could bring up this shiloh and say that I'm giving you shalos manos, but I gave someone else also just to be sure that I'm not. Okay, so this is something that a person could keep in mind, and we wish everybody a wonderful Purim.